This evening, we're continuing our overview of the fourth book found in the Old Testament titled Numbers. Here in Numbers chapter 28, we find the Lord, he's preparing the children of Israel for their entrance into the promised land. Knowing the importance of maintaining the sacrificial system, the Lord instructed Moses to restate the directions that were regarding the burnt offering so that the new leaders of Israel, those kids who had been raised up, they might maintain their connection with the Lord as they entered into the land. And as we look at the different burnt offerings found in our text tonight, we're also going to consider the way that the Lord wants to stay connected with us. You see, it was through the sacrificial system that the Lord stayed connected with the Israelites. But now, here in the church age, the sacrificial system has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But the Lord still wants to stay connected to us. And so we're going to consider the ways that the Lord wants to do that. So with this as our focus, let's jump into our overview of Numbers chapter 28. I want to begin there at verse 1, because there we find the Lord speaking to Moses, and he said this, "Command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my offerings, made by fire is a sweet aroma to me. You shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time." Well, let's just stop right here and consider how this word appointed, it comes from a Hebrew word that speaks of an appointment to meet together. For example, some of us have a weekly staff meeting at work, and we're all expected to make that appointment. Or some of us here, we're parents, and we're often asked by a teacher to come to an appointment, a parent-teacher conference where we can discuss the progress of our children. There are doctor's appointments that we're required to make, and salon appointments, and counseling appointments, and all kinds of appointments that we make with other people. As we consider all of the appointments that we make, we must not fail to understand that the Lord desires for us to schedule appointments with Him, and He wants to set appointments with His people. And the reason why is because He desires to spend time with us. He desires to meet with us so that we might hear from Him and walk in step with His will. With this in mind, we should notice there in verse 2 where the Lord encouraged the people there to be careful to offer to me at their appointed times. He's talking about those sacrifices. And he's saying, hey, look, you guys need to be careful. Make sure that you're keeping these appointments. He's telling them not only to know the times of their scheduled appointments, but to be careful to show up. To be careful to be there to offer those sacrifices. Well, with this encouragement in mind, I want to consider the appointments that we find here in our text tonight. I want to consider these appointments that the Lord was placing on Israel's calendars. Look there, if you would, at verse 3, because there the Lord instructed Moses to say to them, "This is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. And one tenth of an ephah of fine flour is a grain offering mixed with one fourth of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be one fourth of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening, as the morning grain offering, and its drink offering. You shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord." Now, as we get into this study, I want to assure you that I'm not skipping over all of the details of the burnt offering, though I am. And what I mean by that is this. It was in our study, our overview of the book of Leviticus, that we looked at the details regarding the burnt offering. And so I'm not going to rehash all of that. If you'd like to know more about the burnt offerings, excuse me, and the details surrounding that, then I would just encourage you to go back and study Leviticus chapter 1 or Leviticus chapter 6. You might go listen to those recordings online or just read it for yourself. But the purpose of the study tonight, I really want to just kind of bypass the details of the burnt offering and look at the appointments themselves. I want to look at the times of these appointments and consider the importance of the schedule that the Lord is setting here for the Israelites. Because according to the Lord's schedule here, the children of Israel were appointed to meet with the Lord every morning and every evening so that they might offer up these burnt offerings. And while the concept of a burnt offering, it's pretty foreign to us, it's not something that we often do. You know, the closest thing that we have is salt lick, and we go and we eat our burnt offerings there. It's a beautiful thing. But we don't offer daily burnt offerings, right? We don't offer these burnt offerings every morning and every night. And so this concept, it's a little foreign to us. But the purpose of the burnt offerings, it should be understood by us. The purpose of these burnt offerings, it should be understood by every single Christian. And in order to explain what I mean, if you would, hold your place here in Numbers 28 and turn with me to Exodus chapter 29. You see, it's in Exodus chapter 29 where the Lord presented a clear explanation for why he was requiring these daily sacrifices from the children of Israel. And rather than giving the Israelites a bunch of religious busy work, the Lord actually revealed that these offerings were designed to establish spiritual sanctification and communal connection. Now, with this in mind, if you would look there at Exodus chapter 29, I want to begin at verse 38, because there the Lord declares, "Now this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning, for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. There shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." Well, here in these verses, we discover that the daily burnt offerings were absolutely necessary for keeping the tabernacle sanctified with the Lord's glory and for maintaining a personal connection with the holy God of heaven and earth. These sacrifices were designed to bring the children of Israel to the tabernacle where the Lord would then meet with them. In other words, the daily burnt offerings were designed to keep God at the center of their community. And they were designed to keep the Lord in the center of their own hearts as they met with the Lord every morning and every evening. And though the Christian is no longer under the laws of the sacrificial system, I think that there is some important takeaway here from this daily offering. With that, if you would continue holding your place there in Numbers 28, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. As you're turning to Romans 12, I want to remind you that the burnt offerings of the Old Covenant were placed upon the altar and they were entirely consumed by the holy fire of God. And so as we consider these burnt offerings, we must remember that they were offerings that were completely committed to the Lord. There was nothing reserved or nothing set aside for the priests or the people. As I think about the way that these offerings were completely committed to the Lord every morning and every evening, I can't help but to think about the instructions that the Lord presented through Paul here in Romans chapter 12. Look there at verse 1. Because there Paul declares, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here in these verses, Paul helps us to see that the life of the Christian should be much like that daily burnt offering. And while it's hard to imagine placing ourselves entirely upon an altar to be completely consumed by the fire of the Lord, that's exactly what Paul's encouraging us to do. And so the question that we must ask ourselves tonight is this: have I placed myself entirely upon the altar of God? Or is there some part of my life that I'm unwilling to offer as a living sacrifice? Some area of my life that I'm like, no, the Lord can't have this. The Lord can't touch this area of my life. We should search our own hearts tonight and ask ourselves, am I offering God all of me? Or am I only giving him the parts of me that are easy to give? And the parts that are hard, I don't even want to deal with that. Am I completely committing myself to his service, or am I still trying to build my own kingdom here on earth? Christian, please hear me when I tell you that you really can't live for the Lord until you're ready to offer yourself entirely to him. much like a burnt offering that's completely consumed by the holy fire of God. And listen, this isn't an offering that we make once. We don't come along to the Lord and say, okay, I'm offering myself entirely, excuse me, I'm offering myself entirely right now, and that's done. It's a done deal. No, we're a living sacrifice. And one of the problems of being a living sacrifice is we want to get up and walk off the altar and go back to what we were doing. And so every morning and every evening, we ought to be offering ourselves entirely to the Lord. And so I encourage you, offer yourself to the Lord, a living sacrifice, committing yourself completely to the Lord every morning and every evening of every day. In other words, I'm encouraging every Christian here to set up an appointment with the Lord. Put it on your schedule. Put it on your calendar if you need to. Set a little alarm there that wakes you up on time and says, hey, it's your appointment time. We got to be setting up those appointments with the Lord every morning so that we can start our day remembering that we are completely dedicated to the service of God. Then when we go to work, or then when we start, you know, dealing with the business of the day, when we start dealing with the children or whatever it is that we do, we can remember, okay, I've started my day completely committing myself to the service of God. And then, like David, we can declare, to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayers comes before you. Not only that, but I encourage every Christian here to set up an appointment with the Lord every evening so that we might end our day keeping short accounts with the Lord. In the morning we might pray, Lord, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't spoken ill to anyone. I haven't, you know, stolen or thought any ill thoughts, or I haven't done anything wrong, but I'm about to get out of bed, Lord, and I'm going to need your help from here on out. So that's the morning prayer. But in the evening, we're going to be saying, oh, Lord, I did some pretty rotten things today. Will you forgive me? Will you help me to do it better tomorrow? We need to have those morning prayers, and we need to have those evening prayers. And then, like King David, we can declare, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. I'm certain that there will be some who think that, well, this is just a legalistic expectation that Bungie's putting on us. It's legalistic to expect Christians to spend time meeting with the Lord every morning and every evening. And if this is what you're thinking right now, please understand that it's not my intention to put anyone under the law with some sort of religious requirement or legalistic regiment. That's not my point. No, our devotional life with the Lord, it's not a requirement, but rather it's a privilege. And as I consider how the Creator of the universe loves us and wants to spend time with us, we should be more than happy to set aside time to meet with the Lord and receive His loving direction. Comparing this to my relationship with my wife, I'm blown away for the fact that she likes spending time with me. I'm like, really? You want to spend time with me? What a privilege. And so what a joy it is. It's not a privilege, or it's not a chore for me to say, well, let's do a date night. Let's spend some time together. That's not a chore. No, that's a privilege that I have. And so too, like my time with the Lord, it's a privilege, not a chore. And not only are these daily appointments designed to help us to maintain that personal connection with the Lord, these daily appointments are also designed to keep the tabernacle of our body sanctified and set apart by the Lord's glory. Remember, Paul encouraged us in Romans 12:1 there. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, the Christian who wants to walk in the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God must make sure that we spent time on the altar of God, offering ourselves up as a living sacrifice. And so I encourage you, spend time with the Lord. Spend time with Him every morning. Spend time with Him every evening. And then you can maintain that close and personal relationship with your Savior. Well, so we see then that the Lord wants to meet with His people. He wants us to set appointments with Him, that we can meet with Him every day, every morning, every evening. And not only that, but the Lord also presents another appointment here in our text tonight, because the Lord also gave the children of Israel a weekly appointment to go along with the daily appointments. Now with that, let's turn back to Numbers chapter 28. I want to begin reading there at verse 9, because there the Lord declared, "And on the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year without blemish, and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering." Well, here in these verses, we discover another appointment with the Lord, which was set to occur on every Sabbath day, or in other words, once a week on Saturday. So in addition to the daily offerings, the children of Israel were instructed to offer up this weekly offering, which coincided with the Sabbath day celebration. And from this, I'd like to suggest here that this burnt offering reminds us of the importance of weekly fellowship. Now, in order to show you what I mean, if you would hold your place there at Numbers 28, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. As you turn to Hebrews 10, I want to clear up any confusion that you might have about the Sabbath day of rest, because there are those out there who will argue that the Christian is still required to keep the Sabbath day holy. And by that, you know, what they mean to argue is that the church ought to be meeting on Saturday rather than on Sunday. And the reason why is because the law says keep the Sabbath day holy. And yet these people who make these sorts of arguments, they fail to recognize two important things. First of all, they fail to understand that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Please hear me when I say that. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Therefore, those who trust in Jesus are enjoying their Sabbath rest each and every day. You see, the Sabbath day of rest was designed to point us to the rest that we would have in the Messiah. Therefore, every day is my Sabbath rest because I've trusted in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing they fail to understand. Secondly, they fail to recognize that the church meets on Sunday because it's the day that the Lord rose from the grave. Therefore, Sunday represents the resurrection, which is experienced by faith and not by the works of the law. Therefore, the Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we get to experience the resurrection, which is celebrated on Sunday. And so we see then that believers who have entered into the Sabbath rest of Jesus Christ by faith in Jesus' finished work are now celebrating on Sunday because we have new life in Him. And so Sunday is the day that we set aside and have done so since the resurrection of Jesus. This is the day that we set aside to celebrate the salvation that we've received by faith in the sacrifice of our Savior. This is exactly what Paul is writing about here in Hebrews chapter 10. And if you would look there beginning at verse 19, because there he declares, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching." Here in these verses, Paul helps us to see that the Christian can now enter into the holiest of holies. This is unheard of. To be able to enter into the holy of holies, well, Jesus made that possible for us through the sacrifice of his flesh. And through the sacrifice of his flesh, he invites us to draw near to him, not with fear, but with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Not only that, but if you would look there at verse 22, because there Paul also wrote about the way in which our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, I should point out that this language is very reminiscent of the way that the priests of the Old Covenant would be sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice and then washed with water so that they could be consecrated unto the Lord's service. So according to Paul here, Christians have become the priests of the New Covenant. We are the priests of the New Covenant. And it's for this reason that he's encouraging us there in verse 24 to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. From this, I'd like to suggest that while the priests of the Old Covenant were required by law to offer up these sacrifices every Sabbath for the sins of the people, the priests of the new covenant, that being every believer, we've been invited by God to celebrate the sacrifice of our Savior at the weekly assembly that we call church. The responsibilities of the old covenant, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now as the priests of the new covenant, we get to come and just party together. We get to enter into the Holy of Holies. We get to come together and allow God to pour his gifts out upon us so that we can, by his gifts, serve one another. And again, you know, what I'm saying here is what Paul's saying, which is don't forsake the assembly. And you might think, well, it's legalistic to expect a Christian to be at church every Sunday. Well, yeah, if I said, well, you better be at church every Sunday or else, that, you know, no, that's legalism. But the privilege of getting to come and be a part of a Christian community every Sunday, that's mind-blowing. The idea that God wants to hang out with us every Sunday within our Christian community, this isn't a legalistic have-to, but instead, it's a gracious get-to. What's more important than getting to hang out with Christ and his church every Sunday? I say there is nothing more important than that. As the priests of the new covenant, we have the honor of entering into the holiest place. And as we come together every week in corporate worship, we get to enter into together and commune with the Lord as a church family. And we have the privilege of coming together on the Lord's Day where the gifts of God are being used to stir up love and good works. And so with that, let's encourage every Christian to make a weekly appointment. I'm not preaching to the choir here. What I'm saying is let's go out and proclaim this truth. Let's not be ashamed to tell other Christians that we know who, you know, are kind of every other week Christians or once a month, or, you know, let's be sure and say, hey, look, you're missing out. You are missing out. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is the custom of some, but make that weekly appointment by continuing to assemble ourselves together every Sunday so that we can minister to the Lord together as a church family. Well, as we continue to consider the appointments that are found here in Numbers 28, we discover that there were not only daily and weekly appointments, but there were also monthly appointments. And looking back at tonight's text, I'd like to begin reading again there at verse 11, because there the Lord declares, at the beginnings of your months you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour is a grain offering mixed with oil. For each bull, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour is grain offering mixed with oil for the one ram. And 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for each lamb, as a burnt offering of sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 of a hin for a ram, and 1/4 of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month throughout the months of the year. Also, one kid of the goats as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered, besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. Well, here in these verses, we find the Lord presenting the children of Israel with a monthly appointment, which was designed to occur at the beginning of every month. So not only were there the daily and the weekly appointments to sacrifice these burnt offerings, but there were also 12 additional sacrifices, which would be based on the 12-month lunar calendar that the Jews had. And as I consider these monthly offerings, I like to suggest that it's important for us to plan out our monthly calendar around the appointments that we have with the Lord. For example, I'll just speak of my own life. I personally don't schedule meetings with people during the time that I've set aside to meet with the Lord. The reason why is due to the fact that my daily appointments with the Lord are much more important than any other appointment. And I'm sorry if that offends, but I don't mean to, but the Lord is much more important than anybody else in my life. And so when I have time that's set aside and dedicated to meet with the Lord, I'm not going to schedule a meeting on top of that. Why? Because I'm going to be meeting with the Lord, and any other meeting can wait. Whatever it is that I think is so important, it can wait until I'm done meeting with the Lord. Furthermore, as we consider, what I do here, of course, I'm pastoring the church, but Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, I schedule church first. I want you to know that I plan my week around Sunday and Wednesday because everything else is just less important. My weekly appointments with the Lord are more important than any other appointment, and the time that I plan to spend with his church is more important than anything else. I'm here to spend time with the Lord and with his people. And then beyond that, when he leads me to share with unbelievers and reach out, you know, beyond the four walls of this church, and as he leads me and guides me in those ways, then I want to follow in footstep with what he's leading me to do. But I needed to make my appointments to make sure that I knew what I was doing all along. And so it's important that I schedule my month in a way that makes sense with what the Lord is leading me to do, right? Therefore, every month I ought to be scheduling what the Lord's telling me to do. As we consider the monthly appointments that the Lord is directing the children of Israel to keep here in our text, I would suggest that it would be good for every Christian to take the first day of the month and place the plans that we have for the month before the Lord. We all have tons of opportunities. We all have tons of invitations to go here and to do this and be a part of that organization. There's so many opportunities. But are these the things that the Lord would have us to do? Is this the way the Lord wants us to spend our time or to engage with the people around us? I would suggest that we ought to have an appointment with the Lord every month, at the beginning of the month, and that we would take our plans and lay them like a sacrifice before the Lord and say, Lord, you destroy anything that's not from you here. Take whatever it is that is not from you, take it off of my calendar, I don't want it. And let me fill it with the schedule that you have for me. And as we do this, as we come before the Lord and we take our month and we place it before him and say, hey, my month is your month. You lead me. You guide me. In this way, our time and our talent and our treasure, it all ends up being used to bring glory to our Lord each and every month. Not only was the Lord inviting the children of Israel to keep daily, weekly, and monthly appointments with him, but he also instructed them to keep a yearly appointment. If you would look there at Numbers 28, I'd like to look at verse 16 where the Lord declares, on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord, and on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. And you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year. Be sure that they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah you shall offer for a bull, and 2/10 of a ram. You shall offer 1/10 of an ephah for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these besides the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. In this manner you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days as a sweet aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. And on the 7th day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. Well, here in these verses we find the Lord directing the children of Israel. He's telling them to keep this yearly appointment of the Passover celebration. And not only was this celebration surrounding Israel's exodus from Egypt, but it was also a celebration that symbolically pointed to the sacrifice of the Savior. Remember, Jesus was offered as a sacrifice for our sins at the same time when the Passover lambs were being slaughtered there at the temple. And so all of the lambs that were offered up during the Passover, those were pictures of Jesus who fulfilled the sacrificial system. And so this yearly appointment, it was designed by the Lord to present the children of Israel with a symbolic picture of their Savior who would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And now every year, as Christians, we look back to the cross at the same time of year, which we did just this past Sunday. And we celebrate the salvation that our Savior has secured for us so many years before. And every year, we ought to remember what the Lord has done for us through our Resurrection Day celebration. And so we see then that the Lord presented the children of Israel with daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly appointments so that they might stay connected with him. And that's what all of these appointments were about. Keeping the children of Israel connected with him. And in this way, we can stay connected with him as well as we put a Christian twist on these appointments. And not only that, but there's one more appointment here that I want to look at. If you would look there at Numbers 28. Here the Lord gave the Israelites a seasonal appointment. And so look there at verse 26, because there the Lord declares, also on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year, with their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 kid of the goats to make atonement for you, but be sure that they are without blemish. You shall present them with their drink offerings beside the regular burnt offering with its grain offering. Well, here in these final verses, the Lord presents the children of Israel with an appointment that coincided with the yearly harvest. Or in other words, the Israelites were directed here to bring the very first fruits of their grain harvest as an offering to the Lord. They were to take the very first of the harvest and sacrifice it. Just burn it up unto the Lord. And in this way, I think the Lord was helping them to remember who the true provider was. It was God who provided the grain. It was God who sent the rain. It was God who was going to make sure that they had their daily bread. Jesus even taught us to pray, to ask for that daily bread that we need. And it's sad when people start getting away from understanding that the Lord is the true provider, and we start thinking, oh, no, I'm the provider. I'm the person who goes to work. Well, who gave you the job? Well, I got the job because I went to college. Well, who gave you the intelligence to go to college? Well, I went and made the grades. No, the Lord is the provider. The Lord gives us the intelligence that we have, or the lack thereof, if you will. The Lord provides us with the job that we have, and he can take it away if he desires. The Lord provides us with the paycheck that we have, and if we decide to stop honoring him with the first fruits of what he gives us, then he can turn around and say, well, okay, do it on your own then. And watch what happens. Nothing good is going to happen from that. So how important is it for us to say, okay, the first fruits, they're yours, God. Because you're the true provider. You're the one who provides us with all the blessings. I believe that this is what he's doing for the children of Israel. He's reminding them, hey, don't forget, I'm the one providing the grain for you. In similar fashion, I believe that every Christian would do well to set aside a day at the beginning of the year to look at the income that the Lord is providing to them. That they would take a day in the beginning of the year to look at their budget and to consider, this is what the Lord is providing for me, and I'm going to take the first fruits of this, and whether it be monthly or weekly or however that comes, I'm going to dedicate this to the Lord and give it to him. We should be prayerfully determining how to honor God with the first fruits of our income, because it's in this way that we remember who the true provider is. We're taking what God's giving us and we're saying, hey, here's what I'm going to give to him as a thank you. Not only that, but I think we should also remember that another name for this feast here, it's the Day of Pentecost. This feast had many names. The Feast of Weeks was one of them, but Pentecost was another name for this. And the word Pentecost, it actually means 50th day. It'll help us to remember that this annual feast was actually designed to prophetically reveal the coming of the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, 50 days after Jesus rose from the grave, the Holy Spirit came and spiritually empowered the first century church. And the Holy Spirit has been spiritually empowering the church ever since that first day of Pentecost there in the first century. And with this, we must remember then, that the only way we can really keep our appointments with God is by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of these appointments that I'm talking about, if we try to maintain these appointments in our own flesh, we will fail miserably. I can't meet with God every morning and every day in my own flesh. I'll get burnt out. I'll get tired. I can't commit my every week to the Lord and say, I'm going to be at church every Sunday, because the minute I try in my flesh, I'm going to fail. I can't take my monthly calendar and say, Lord, I'm going to schedule this according to your will, because apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what God's leading me to do. I can't take my year and remember every year what the Lord has done for me, because in my flesh, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to take all of my finances and commit it to my own selfish, needs. No, I need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that day of Pentecost to happen in our lives each and every day. We need the Lord to come and empower us each and every day by filling us fresh with his power so that we can keep all of these appointments, so that we can meet with the Lord at those appointed times. And so I encourage you, wake up every day. And the first thing that you do when you wake up is just say, Lord, I need you. I need your power. Fill me fresh with the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can stay empowered to serve and to stay relationally connected with our loving Savior. Let's pray.